This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Well, welcome everyone to Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. It's a radio show of gospel music, inspirational music, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. And it's just my pleasure to be with you. And we have a fun show, a poignant show. There's an exciting time ahead with a very dear friend of mine. I call her sister, and a wonderful poet. And we're going to listen to one of her pieces right now, and I will introduce her to you right after this number called Rancher Lips.
Yeah. When I married me a rancher, I didn't know too much at all about raising cows and calving, or about working them each fall. Determined to be taught these things, I worked outside each day. I mucked out stalls and fed the calves. I even baled the hay. Now working ain't a problem, but my lips appeared to be. My soft and supple kisser got real hard and leathery. The guys didn't have this problem, not that I saw anyway. And I know they didn't have chapstick, because I asked them every day. It's not that I didn't have none. I must have bought a case or so. I'd melt them in the dryer, or plain forget them when I'd go. When my lips got dry, I'd lick them, so they got worse every day. They'd crack and split wide open with each word I'd try to say. I tried to keep them puckered, so they wouldn't crack and bleed. I really needed chapstick, but those guys paid me no heed. So I'd resort to shouting, "I can't take this anymore. I really want to lick them, but I can't. They're too darn sore." My husband finally told me about an old-time cowboy trick. Just take a small dab of manure and rub it on real quick. Without a thought, I asked him, "Will that help them not get sore?" He grinned and said, "I doubt it, but you won't lick them anymore."
Always makes me laugh. Well, this lady, as you can tell, she's a gifted writer. She writes both, wonderful poetry of just for, they'll make you laugh and make you cry. And over the last several years, she has become just one of my most precious friend and a sister of the heart. And I would just love to welcome to the show my dear sister, cowgirl sister friend, I call her, Miss Diane Tribbett. Hey, Diane.
Hi, Belinda. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well. And just so pleased to have you on the show. Not only is Diane an award-winning poet, wonderful performer. She is an entrepreneurial businesswoman. And she just, I want to be just like her when I grow up. She's like my hero. Cannot imagine. She is just so amazing. So, Diane, why don't you tell people how we met?
Well,
you remember?
Yeah, were we in Kamloops at the time?
No, it was Santa Clarita.
Santa Clarita, yes. And I was on a stage, and I didn't really know anybody. Actually, I knew nobody. I had a set, and after I got done, I got off stage, and this tall cowboy came up to me and asked if he could put some of my lyrics to music. He said, "I just love how you write, and I would really be honored if you'd let me take some of your work and put it to music." And I said, "Oh, okay." I had no idea who he was, and he handed me his business card, and it said Jim Curly Musgrave on it. And everybody knows Curly, or everybody except me, so I didn't know who he was. So later to find out, he is like the cowboy of cowboy music. So Curly introduced me to Belinda, and we all became very good friends from that point on.
It's fascinating. It's one of those kind of friendships that the minute you meet someone, you just kind of pull them into your heart and keep them there. And we've just been wonderful friends ever since. And Diane also at one point was editor of a magazine. And how we really got, we'd met a few times, but we really liked each other right off the bat. But I think when we really became close was when you wanted to interview me for that magazine, and you did an article on me in that magazine. And we went to lunch. I think we were at the WMA, I believe. Was that correct, Diane?
Yes, we were. Yes.
We were at the WMA, the Western Music Association annual convention. We were there, and Diane and I went to lunch and to do this interview, and we just ended up just yakety talking.
You don't know how intimidated I was by you, Belinda.
Seriously, were you kidding?
No, this beautiful woman with these beautiful clothes and the beautiful voice, and I was just this rancher girl from Minnesota, and yeah, you were very, yeah, I was just spellbound by your personality and your voice and your look.
Oh, jeepers. Well, you didn't show it. We just hit it off, and we just had this just really, really wonderful conversation and just really got to know each other so well. We found out we had a lot of common things that we both had gone through in our lives and that we both enjoyed doing, and it was really pretty cool. And one of the things, and we might as well talk about it now, that I wanted to kind of bring up was that one of our commonalities was the fact that we are both widows. And Diane was widowed a couple of years before I was, I think. I was widowed in 2008. And weren't you widowed a couple of years before that, Diane?
2004.
Several years before that, yes. And I will let Diane talk about more about that later. But one of the things that just impressed me about the character of Diane is that when she was widowed, she was a fairly new bride. She had come out of a very abusive marriage and found, after several years, found the love of her life and married. And they were this amazing, delightful team. He was a rancher and a cowboy, and Diane was starting a new business, an insurance business, and they were just happy as little clams. And 2 years into the marriage, her husband was tragically killed in a Little Britches rodeo accident when he was saving a young man from a runaway bronc. And Diane knew nothing about ranching. She knew nothing about building business. She knew nothing about either one of those things. But this lady is so gutsy that she went to the University of Minnesota. Their ag department took her on as a project, and they taught her how to run the ranch and how to run the bin building business. And she has doubled and tripled both of those businesses in the years since her husband's death. So, oh my gosh. I mean, this is a woman worth knowing. Trust me. She really is. And so that was a tough deal for you, sweetie. Because you literally saw your husband die in that arena, didn't you?
Yes, he was pretty much right in front of myself and my youngest daughter, Brianna. But, you know, everything in life that happens forges who we become. And even though we question everything bad in our lives, we all have to do hard things to be happy and to move on and take our chances and not worry about other people and invest in yourself when no one else seems to be. So I think those were some of my philosophies going into learning what I needed to learn and how to walk the talk and put my heart into it and deliver results. It would have been a lot easier to make excuses, but I've made some mistakes and I've looked like a fool sometimes, and that just all helps forge even deeper the strength and the faith that the Lord provides. And I've had to learn how to let go of a lot of struggles from yesterday, and you know, I still have to do that, and really have to refrain myself from feeling sorry for me. I've learned how to toughen up and fight hard for what I believe in, and on the other hand, I've learned how to be patient and take control of my thoughts before they take control of me, and stay positive and spend time with the right people like Belinda and my WMA friends and some of my ranching friends. There's just so much to learn in life, and I've learned how to stand up for myself, and I've learned how to forgive people who have wronged me, and I love reaching out and helping other people. And I think the most important lesson was to learn how to be present enough to enjoy my journey. It's not always fun and it's not always good, but by God, I enjoy it.
Well said, my sweet. Now, see, you all understand why I love this woman so much. She is. You talk about being around me to uplift you. I tell you what, I never fail to be inspired by you, my sweet friend, and just love your whole philosophy of life. And I really love that not only did we team up as friends, but we teamed up as performers as well. And we actually have a show that we call Cowgirl True, where we go out and we get on stage together at the same time. And we have put together a show where my music leads into your poetry and vice versa. And yeah, also we've actually taken some songs and poems and put them together into one piece to make them just more fun and more enjoyable to listen to, and just kind of combine our talents within the piece of a song. And we're going to do one of those here in just a second. And this is actually a sweet little lullaby song. And I had recorded the lullaby many years ago. It was written by a good friend of ours, Les Buffum, an amazing poet. And he wrote this after he had met his first little granddaughter up in Montana, inspired him to write her an actual lullaby and sing. And this is a crotchety old bent, broken, old, down old cowboy, and to hear him sing this song, it's so beautiful and tender, but it looks so incongruous coming out of this man's mouth. it's hilarious from that aspect, but it's a beautiful little song, and he went up and he said he borrowed his little granddaughter from her mother for the day, and he said, and I took her out for a drive, and he said, you know, Belinda, there's a whole bunch of things about them babies I forgot. He said, like them diapers. Do you know you have to change them things every day? And then he said, and if it says 8 to 12 pounds, he said, that's it. That's all they're going to hold. So I thought, yeah, that's a cowboy. That's a cowboy for you. But he said he wrote when he was taking her home, she was getting sleepy in her little chair, and he couldn't think of a lullaby, so he wrote her own. And that's this one that I ended up recording. And then you had written a little poem to go with this, or had written I think you called it Ranch Lullaby, is what you call your poem?
Yes, a ranch
and
lullaby.
And so we combined that. And what made you write that? What inspired you to write Ranch Lullaby?
I believe I had that after I was trying to rock one of my grandbabies to sleep. It just kind of popped in my head.
Ah, well, it is beautiful. It is just, and I think the two just combine perfectly. And so we had a lot of fun putting this together as a song poem together. And we're going to listen to it right now. And it's called Montana Lullaby.
Sunset has faded for blue mountains high. The evening stars winking in a big Montana sky. You've had a big day now. You played so hard, riding the range with your make-believe heart. But now it's time for sleeping.
Up.
Yeah.
And so when we perform that live, I love it because everybody just gets so relaxed and mellow. And we literally, wasn't it in Branson, Diane, that we were performing at Silver Dollar City, and there we did that song, and this little baby actually was going to sleep in their mama's arms. She'd been fussing around and jumping up and down on the benches and stuff, and we started singing that song, and she crawled up in her mama's lap and snuggled in and just went to sleep, and her mom's like, thank you. I loved that. That was so fun. Well, speaking of family, I love a little detail about your growing up years, and I want to talk about that a little bit. So tell us what it's like to grow up in a household of 10 girls. count them, 10 girls.
No boys.
And one bathroom. And one bathroom, I think, right?
Yes, we had one bathroom. I remember that our upstairs was not heated, and we didn't have enough bedrooms for everybody. So four of us, three of my sisters and I, slept in the same bed, but we had to sleep sideways so we'd all fit. We grew up really close. A lot of us are only a year apart. Actually, my sister and Annette and I were actually the same age for a month and a half. We were that close in years. But we had six of us in our sixth grade high school at one time, and we were never like catty sisters. We always were, and still to this day are best friends. We're down to six of us now. We lost two when they were young, and I lost one sister at age 40 in a motorcycle accident. It was great. It was great growing up with a bunch of sisters. I loved it.
Well, one of my very favorite stories, and I know you know exactly where I'm going with this, but one of my very favorite stories that you tell about this is when you all decided to order yourself a brother. So please tell us this story.
Okay, it was 1974 in our school, which was 7th grade through 12th grade, had a intercom system, and that's how they would communicate news. And they put out a bulletin that the school was going to start up a foreign exchange student program, and if anyone was interested, to just stop by the office and get some paperwork for an application. So my sisters and I put our little heads together, and we went in and got the application, and we filled it out and requested a brother, and we signed Mom and Dad's name on it, and we didn't tell them about it. And the application went through, and our family was accepted, and we were notified that they could not give us a boy because there were so many girls in the household, but we were approved for another girl. So the school called my mom and dad 3 days before she arrived from Brazil, and that's how they found out.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so were there some, like, sit-down little irate parents giving you guys a lecture over this? I don't think we've ever talked about that.
No, actually, they never said a word. They were kind of excited about it. We never heard a bad word about it or a reprimand. And
wow.
They took us with to the airport. We all went down and met her at the airport, and she came off the plane, and she said, "Hi, Mom, hi, Dad," and they all fell in love, and that was 1974, I think it was, and still to this day, she keeps in weekly contact with Mom. Dad is deceased now, but she comes to the United States every 10 years to spend a week or two with us, so she did become a sister.
Oh, that's just, I love that story. I just can't even imagine. I love it. Well, you must have had quite a mom. Quite a mother, and you wrote a poem about mothers that I just love called Half the Hand, and can you tell us what inspired you to write this poem?
Well, it was after I met Georgie Sicking. She is 94 now, a female cowboy out of Casey, Wyoming, and Georgie and I became really close friends, and her hands just mesmerized me, the work, the things that a mother's hands go through, and my own mother with her total blessed nature. She is a wonderful mom. So between those two women, I came up with this poem, Half the Hand.
Well, I would love for us to listen to it right now. This is Diane Tribbett's Half the Hand.
I gazed upon my mother's hands that rivaled those of any man's, undoubtful. The hands that taught me wrong from right, enfolding mine to pray at night, devoutful. Those calloused hands told voiceless tales of wrench in life and weary trails they've weathered. Kept wild Mustangs lizzie-tied until their devils deep inside were tethered. they've throwed down calves in Satan's lair, while Turnin Hyde and St. John Hare transcended. They've strung up miles of fence and wire, and under stars a kindled fire they've tended. They've punched out dough and put up chow, pulled calves out of the rankest cow, and branded. They've scattered dirt on broken sod when those she loved rode off as God commanded. And should God let me live to be as tough as her, I guarantee I'd rather. But if he don't, I'll understand, just so he makes me half the hand as mother.
I love that poem, and I love when you do it. And I'm like you. I just am fascinated with people's hands. There's a lot of stories there.
Yeah, and what two better women to write it over. So I'm proud of that one.
Well, and for those who don't know, I mean, Georgie Sicking, if this is, you know, the first time they've heard her name mentioned, tell them how old Georgie is.
She's 94 now. She still travels. She's legally blind. She still travels to poetry gatherings. She's an inspiration. She's an inductee into the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame. She's been given an award for 100,000 miles horseback. She roped wild cattle, mustangs, mules, and built her own ranch that way. Stocking it, selling them, breaking horses. So a big inspiration to anybody who wants to be a cowboy, male or female.
Yeah. Male or female. And from what I understand, her family, her mother died and her father remarried, and her stepmother just turned she and her brother out when they were still just children, like tweens, like 12 years old. And they made it on their own doing what you just said. So
yeah.
She's a pretty phenomenal woman. So yes. And definitely deserving of a poem like that. Oh my gosh, it's so cool. Gosh, and we've just had some wonderful people that come into our lives through this Western music. People that are attracted to it are pretty amazing. And one of those was my late singing partner, Curly. You talked about him a little bit earlier, and I need to get some of his music in our music. I need to be including that on my shows, and I will in the future. But he really just loved your writing, Diane. He was so impressed with your writing and so impressed with the fact that he could, as he's trying to put something to music, he's put several of your songs, your poems, actually, to music.
Yeah.
And I loved that he respected you so much as a writer. He didn't fix any little thing that needed to be fixed to make it be able to fit to music. Your meter and rhyme is so lovely that he would just have little tiny fixes, and he'd just say, this needs to be fixed, and you would fix it.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like working with Curly, as you know, to mesh your songs and your poems together. I mean, his music,
you know,
and your lyrics.
There were probably, I could probably count 5 words that he had me change on anything he had taken. He pretty much left everything the way I had written it. The last poem I gave him was called Cowboy Farewell, and I was asked to write that by a different singer, but he didn't really fit with what I had written. It wasn't how he felt about things, and so I turned it over to Curly, and I said, if you ever want to do anything with this, this is, I like it, but who I wrote it for didn't really care to do it. So I gave it to Curly, and he fell in love with it. And the request was to write what possibly dying cowboy's thoughts is the request I had to write. And it was so ironic because Curly lived up in the mountains of California, and that's how I set the lyrics to this poem/song. And Curly did get the music written, didn't get it fully recorded before he was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and he never got to finish it, although he did get his voice recorded with his portion of the lyrics. and he died up in his mountain in California. So it was kind of ironic how I almost wrote it for him without knowing it, because I had written it several years before he even knew he had cancer. So it really made the work special, and I can't help but listen to this song without thinking of Curly.
Oh, absolutely. And it literally is the last recorded music that he ever recorded before he died. And he had recorded scratch vocals, mind you. And we put it together as a trio with he and I and R.W. Hampton. And so we utilized his scratch vocals, and we couldn't completely duplicate it the way we did it live because we didn't have enough of his vocals to do that. Because it was a little more intricate, the arrangement, but we got it on CD, and I would love for everyone to listen to it right now, and it's called A Cowboy Farewell.
The mountains are covered in blankets of snow. Don't reckon I'll be round to see you this spring. The echoes have fallen of the lone hoot owl calling. Now he sits by my window and I know what he brings. My cowboying days, they were truly amazing. Found life before death in the clear mountain air. Now I'm ready to wander new pastures up yonder, and I'm ready to ride the four winds that blow there. I'll soon walk the red road and join the great circle to sing cowboy songs from the sweet by and by, till we meet there at Jesus' feet. I'll be riding that heavenly ranch in the sky. I've rode all the rank ones down to my last run. I bulldogged the devil in 3 seconds flat. My years have been many, true love's found me plenty. Ain't a cowboy on earth who could want more than that. Instead of a halo, I'd like a gold buckle, some Jingle Bob spurs with my brand on each side, a rigging back waiting at those pearly gates, and there's bulls, bears, and broncs for us cowboys to ride. I'll soon walk the red road and join the great circle to sing cowboy songs from the sweet by and by, till we meet there at Jesus' feet. I'll be riding that heavenly ranch in the sky. Adios, mi compadre. Farewell, corazón. Goodbye to Chinook winds that sing soft and low. Don't wanna be late when my pals are all waiting for me, and my spirit is restless to go. I'll soon walk the red road and join the great circle to sing cowboy songs from the sweet by and by, till we meet there at Jesus' feet. I'll be riding that heavenly ranch in the sky.
Oh, you're right, Diane. I cannot hear that song either without thinking of him, and just so grateful that we were able to get enough of his voice to be able to get that on a recording and to get that out for everybody. It's just such an, and what beautiful lyrics, girlfriend. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it turned out great. I was really happy with it.
It was really wonderful. Well, I'd like to lighten, we've been talking about some kind of heavy stuff, but I'd like to lighten the mood a little bit. Curly, he had an untimely death. There was so much music left in him, so much poetry left in him. And, you know, it was very a sad loss, but, you know, we just really never know, you know, when our time is up. The Lord knows our days are numbered. We're not going to live 1 minute more or 1 minute less than the Lord has planned for our lives. And I truly believe that. But just there was this really fun little poem that you've written that we do together that I just love. I have a little song that I put with it. We're not going to do the song today, but tell me how you came to write this cute little poem, Live Life Backwards. How did you come to write that?
Well, you know, just some of the hard knocks of life. And I guess one day I was out sorting cattle and I was at the gate and I had a lot of time to think. And I just kept thinking of, you know, if only I had known now, you know, back then what I know now, it would have, maybe I would have made different choices or different decisions. And I just started thinking about how when we were younger, we sure could have used the knowledge that we didn't have as we grew older, or listened to other people who were older when they would tell us stuff. We just didn't tend to believe them and figured we had to go knock our own way through life. And that's how it came to me, just out in the pasture one day.
Well, it's really a fun one, and I love the audience's reaction to this little poem. And so we're going to listen now to Live Life Backwards.
It seems to take a whole lifetime to finally figure out the secrets of success and love and what life's all about. I'm sure you've said these very words. If only I had known when I was young what I know now, my troubles wouldn't have grown. So I was thinking, if I could live my life again, I'd make just one small change. I'd like to live it backwards so the years would rearrange. I'd like to start my life out dead, so that's out of the way. Then wake up in a rest home feeling better every day. I'd soon get way too healthy, so they'd have to boot me out. I'd draw my pension while I fished and traveled all about, sporting big old buckles from the rodeos I'd won. And I wouldn't owe a penny to the bank or anyone. My spouse and I'd get younger, and our hair would lose its gray. I'd start a job and get a nice gold watch on my first day. I'd put my 40 hours in, then head to rodeos, to rope and ride with cowboy pride in cowboy slim-cut clothes. I'd run my ranch with great success and top-notch cowboy skills. This ranching's downright easy when a guy can pay his bills. I'd get a little dumber, though, the younger I would get. Then pretty soon I'd lose it all, rode hard and put up wet. But by that time, I wouldn't have a spouse or job, you see. We'd be too young, and I'd be working on my PhD. And when my college years were done, I'd rodeo full-time. I'd date too much and learn to slam tequila shots with lime. Then pretty soon I'd quit all that and move in with my folks to drive them both plumb crazy with outlandish pranks and jokes. I'd ride the old ranch pony till I reached the age of 3. Then I'd turn into a baby and they'd hug and kiss on me. I'd spend 9 months free-floating in a spa-like cavity where everything was built right in for fetal luxury. Then, like a shooting star that streaks across the prairie sky, my trail would end, and I'd become the twinkle in Dad's eye.
I love it. And I love when you're starting to get to the end, you can almost see people get uncomfortable. They're not too sure where you're going to, how is she going to, you know, and it's just, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful the way you ended it. It really, really is so, so much fun. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're, you know, coming down to the, kind of closing out the show a little bit, but there's some things I want to talk to you about before we let you go, Diane. But before I forget, because I keep doing this, because I have so much fun chatting with my guests that I forget, you know, some practical things. What are some websites that if people want to find your poetry, and we can talk a little bit about Cowgirl True, but can you give us some website addresses that people, if they want to get a hold of your poetry or they want to get a hold of our Cowgirl True CD that we just put out, that these cuts that we've been playing, most of them except for Cowboy Farewell are on there. Can you give us those websites?
Yeah, my personal one is cowgirlpoet.com, and the Cowgirl True website is just cowgirltrue.org, and I can also be found at cowboypoetry.com. Those would be the three.
Those would be the three. And
we have Facebook. They can find us on Facebook.
On Facebook, absolutely, and the CD that is brand new out, it just is out, and so I don't have it up on my website yet to purchase, but I will have it next week on my BelindaGaleSings.com website, so people can certainly go there to buy the CD, and the whole Cowgirl True thing, I would like to explain that to people, how that kind of came about. Actually, when Curly passed away, and Diane was amazing. She just volunteered her services to put together the video, and she flew out and stayed with Kathy, Curly's widow, and I stayed with us while we put this whole thing together. And we were just this amazing group of women with his sister and some other friends that came all together to put this together. And they were kind of teasing and you and I, because we are had so many commonalities in our life, and they were like, you girls are like Cowgirl True. Curly wrote a great song called Cowboy True, and he goes, you guys are Cowgirl True, and you should like do stuff together. And we were like, yes, we should. And so yeah. that was kind of where Cowgirl True was born, and how
Absolutely.
We started performing together. And so really, Curly was, you know, really responsible for pulling us together as a duo and really making that happen. And so we will be ever, ever grateful to him about that. And one of the things I do want to talk about too before we leave is that our Cowgirl True Girlfriend Getaway Weekend. Now, this was actually your brainchild, Miss Diane, it took us a few years to put it together, but it has finally come to fruition. So can you tell us a little bit about the Cowgirl True Girlfriend Getaway Weekend that we do?
Yeah, that's coming up March 5th through the 8th, and we've been holding an annual Girlfriend Getaway Weekend in Wickenburg at the Flying E Ranch. And it's just basically, you don't have to be cowgirl, you just have to have cowgirl spirit. We spend time together, do fun things, a little crafting, talking, spa stuff, and just spend a weekend together and connect. And we do a little Cowgirl True concert at Campfire. It's just a connection for women to get away, rejuvenate, revitalize, just go home a happier person and willing and able to take whatever comes their way with the Lord in their heart.
That's so true. It was so fun. Last year we literally had two women who were like, we don't want to go home. We just want to stay.
We have a lot of fun.
We do. We laugh so much. It's very nurturing. And ladies who want to ride or want to try their hand at riding, maybe they've never ridden, the Flying E has a wonderful stable of horses so people can ride if they wish or just hang out by the pool and vegetate if they wish. But I think, again, our vision of that was, as we discussed it, was just, you know, that women just have our lives, with all the technology that's supposed to make our lives easier, it seems like it just makes it faster and more hectic and more crazy. And just to offer women a time to be together and nurture each other and slow down.
And the food is so good.
It is. Yeah, you need to lose a little bit of weight before you come so you have some wiggle room to gain back and be able to wear your clothes home that you came in. That's definitely helpful. And we have it. I mean, it's definitely a faith-based weekend, although it's not a Christian retreat in the formal sense of the word. And we did that deliberately, too. We offer devotionals in the morning for people who want to participate. We have Cowgirl Church on Sunday, but this is a really good weekend for people to bring maybe their unchurched and kind of riding the fence people who aren't really sure about all of this and to put them in an environment where it's Christian women who are just having fun and that you can have fun and you can be real and still be Christian. So it's a good one to bring people that isn't just like overtly Christian, but definitely the thread of that is through the entire weekend. So if anybody wants to find out more about that, they can go to the Flying E website, which I think is, oh my gosh, I should have written this down.
FlyingEranch.com, I think.
I think it is that. And they can Google the Flying E Ranch in Wickenburg, Arizona, which is a very historic, old school, kind of an old-timey dude ranch kind of a place that's very, very fun. And one of the things along with the whole nurturing of women thing that you and I have talked about a lot was our coming together writing a wonderful song. I love the song. It was very healing for me and I think for you as well. When we decided to write a song to put on our new album about people dealing with grief.
Yes.
And what we wanted to say with this song. So could you elaborate a little bit on that, about what we wanted people to, and I may add a few comments, but what in your mind, what did we want to portray with this song?
Well, before I explain that, I just looked it up. It is www.flyingeranch.com. With She Lives, I think our biggest mission with that is to combine both of our thoughts on the struggles of being alone after both of us being widowed and how your faith can really be tested, because we want to know why and we want to know how to vent our anger and our frustration and how then we step into the realities and the purpose and what we have to learn to be stronger, happier, because we don't give up when we lose. We just flail forward and keep calm, and even though we feel weak, and as we feel ourselves becoming weaker, we also feel our spirit becoming stronger. And when things are tough, we get tougher. And I think the biggest thing is not to remember not to pray for an easy life, but to pray for the strength to endure a hard one that leads to the long-term successes and happiness spiritually, physically, emotionally, and I think that's where our song goes.
I agree completely, and this is something that we wrote together, like you said, combining our joint experiences that are parallel in many ways and different in some ways. And my experience in writing this song was I wrote the song part and the lyrics for the song part. You wrote the poem part, and I realized that I really didn't want to get in touch with that grief part of me. I didn't really want to go there again, so I decided to write about you. and so I started it out writing it about you and your experience in being widowed, and then it very quickly evolved into bringing up my stuff and dealing with my own stuff. So in writing this song, really helped me to heal and to face some things that I had been running from and to deal with some things that were in my own life. And then the poem you put with it was just perfection in my estimation. And so I just, again, really want to, we're going to close out this segment with you, part of the show, Diane, with this song that we wrote, She Lives. And I just really want to thank you for being on the show and being my supportive cowgirl sister friend. And just love you so much and would encourage people to find out more about you.
Yeah, that's definitely mutual, Belinda. We've got a very, such different lives, but so parallel. And I appreciate everything about you in my life. So thank you.
Well, thank you, sweetie. And you have a good day. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. But thank you again so much.
You're very welcome.
On the show. Thank you, sweetie. And we're going to listen to you now. She Lives.
Lord, I'd like to take a moment to give thanks on bended knee for the gifts of love and laughter that you've bestowed on me. A simple life, a cowgirl's dream, with blessings everywhere. A man I love, the greatest gift. Each day I say this prayer.
She stares in disbelief, raising tear-filled eyes to God. The man she loves more than life itself, lying so still neath the sod. She can't move, she can't breathe, she can't even think. Time stands still, then closes in. She trembles on the brink, and she's falling. She's falling. She's down. Sun comes up, it's all she can do, putting one foot in front of other. But there's still the children, still the ranch, and God knows that they need her. How she grieves through wordless tears in the night, so cold and black. Her shattered heart just won't accept he's not coming back. And she, she's drifting, she's lost.
Lord, here I am, on my knees again, begging you, in this pain. Why would you have me suffer so? I wish you could explain. When I can't bear this hateful cross, when I can't bear to live, I raise my fist and curse your name, then pray you may forgive.
In one night she remembers there's a better way. Just lay it all at Jesus' feet and then just walk away. 'Cause only He can heal her pain and dry her lonely tears. And then He'll take her by the hand and gently lead her through the
Lord, though in my heart I plan my course, each step belongs to you. I found new love, new trails to blaze. I found your glory too. How much I've grown in your love, Lord. And by God's grace go I. For every hurt this world has brought, I'm twice blessed by and by.
Yes, it's true, she misses him, but she doesn't shed a tear. His memory soft across her mind grows more precious every year. Why she had to ride this trail may never be understood, but it's brought her here, it's forged her strength, and oh, her life is good. God is with her, listens to her, hope sustains her, love renews her, and she lives.
Oh, I hope that song inspired people who are going through grief and not just the grief of losing a spouse, but the grief of losing anyone special in your life. And as I was praying about that and thinking about it, just this wonderful scripture in Isaiah 61:3 came to my mind. And it reads, "To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And I do believe that situation, no matter how dark and ugly and hopeless that it may feel and seem in the moment, that if you can just put your hand in his hand and trust him, and if you have to close your eyes and just take the steps as he leads and don't even worry about where it's going, just know that he has it all under control, that he can turn all of those things into something beautiful. And as people watch your lives, as you're going through something like this, they are inspired and God is glorified, and it makes them want what you have, because it's only through God's grace that you can find that joy to get you through these things. And although we technically let Diane go, she kind of hung around, and I would like to bring her back on here to close the show out. And we're going to close the show with a song that we combined, Amazing Grace, and then a poem that she wrote for her husband after he was killed. And you want to tell us a little bit about that poem, Diane?
Well, yeah, I wrote it for Randy's memorial, and I firmly believed I was writing it for myself at the time. As the few years progressed from then until now, I've realized that I didn't. I wrote it for other people to help them through the struggles and the realities, and just bring peace. I just wanted to have a peaceful feeling about what I had gone through, and that's my biggest hope and prayer, is that my words can bring them peace also.
Well, and, I think it's a wonderful way to close this. And yes, what did you want to say?
Oh, no, it's basically written for anyone who has known, loved, and lost a cowboy.
I would say that, or anyone in their life, really. It's in a cowboy setting, but it really does have a wonderful sentiment. So we've combined this with Amazing Grace, and we want to thank you all for being with us. And until next week, this is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. Thank you so much for joining us.
Amazing.
but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first be.
God has a ranch in heaven, a place for cowboys to call home, with dusty trails and deep passes, where cows and horses freely roam. I picture you up on a ledge, gazing at the draws below, leaning forward with your 30X Stetson hat pulled way down low. I can about hear the leather creaking as your gelding switches feet. Your spurs softly jingle in the wind, your ropes tied on and coiled neat. There is contentment on your face. You're happy, but I can't pretend. Though I'm glad you've made God's journey that I can truly comprehend. In my earthly ways, I question the reasons God took you away. I guess the timing was exactly right to enter heaven on that day. The only comfort I have found that puts my grief to rest is that God only takes the top hands because His crew's the very best. We still cry, and we sure miss you in all the things that might have been. But God needed one more cowboy, and He felt you'd fit right in. So He sent down all His ranch hands. An extra horse stood at their side, and He softly whispered to you, "Saddle up, my friend, let's ride."
When we praise than when that